آمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. سبحان الله. الصحابي، we learn about, we'll mention his youth and then an incident in his advanced age. Hazrat Umair رضي الله عنه, a specimen of a human being. Hazrat Umair رضي الله عنه, he tasted the goblet of orphanage. He was an orphan at a very tender age, and he didn't have much support. He was with his mother, who wedded an individual by the name of Julas bin Suwaid, who was well off. Hazrat Umair received kind treatment from Julas. Julas showed him kindness, and he was happy under Julas. Hazrat Umair radiallahu anhu loved Julas like a son loves his father, and Julas also adored him as well. He was about 10 years old, and he was constant and punctual, frequented the masjid and the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Iman permeated his heart, and he had a very, very firm strength in his iman. His life continued in this calm mode until Allah's will happened to teach him a very pertinent lesson and to raise his ranks. It was in the 9th year after Hijrah when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced to the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum that we are going in Allah's way to the Roman lands. This is known as the Battle of Tabuk. The surah of the Quran detailing this event is none other than Surah At-Tawbah, the chapter after Anfal. Interestingly, Anfal details one of the early Medina expeditions, namely Badr, and At-Tawbah details the final expedition in the blessed life of our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this transitory world. So Surah Tawbah details that event. And on that occasion, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam exhorted the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum to contribute for Allah, to give for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Generally, he would not mention to Sahaba his actual intent, because sometimes there would be a few hypocrites who would divulge the information to others. But on this occasion, Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned, we are going to the lands of the Romans, the Syrian region. It was a time that was summer, the heat was intensified, yes, the fruit was ripe, and it was a time to actually stay at home and relax. But the Muslims responded to the invite of Rasulullah ﷺ, and they all got ready to strive in Allah's way. An interesting year is also to study the incident of Hazrat Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu, a very great Sahabi. Him and his two companions, Murara bin Rabi' radiallahu anhu and Hilal bin Umayyah radiallahu anhu, these three. The lesson there on how they stayed behind and how much we learn from that event. An amazing hadith narrated in the books of hadith explaining Hazrat Ka'b radiallahu anhu's ordeal during the time when they missed this expedition called Tabuk. Anyway, one day Hazrat Umayyah returns home. After completing Salah, his heart was filled with Iman due to being in the environment of the Masjid, and all the Sahaba were contributing whatever they could for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the women folk were giving their jewelry and giving their valuables. Hazrat Abu Bakr brought every last penny he had for Allah's sake, for Allah's deen, so that it would be used in this expedition in Allah's way in Tabuk. Hazrat Umar brought half of everything. That's the famous event we learn about how Hazrat Umar tried to compete with Hazrat Abu Bakr. But Hazrat Abu Bakr is the best of the best. Then Hazrat Uthman, subhanallah, radiallahu anhu, he brought a bag of 1,000 gold coins, presenting it before Rasulullah. Allah's beloved was elated and gave him such du'as. Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf, radiallahu anhu, brought 200 uqiyas of gold. He puts it before Rasulullah. And Sahaba, Hazrat Abdurrahman, Hazrat Uthman brought camels and horses so that can carry the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, those who couldn't afford. Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari's event is quite interesting, where they didn't have anything to spend in Allah's way. And they asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to sponsor them and support them. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I don't have. Wallahi la ajidu ma ahmilukum alayh. Quran Kareem says, tawallaw wa ayunuhum tafidhu min ad-dam'i hazanan. They went away home, but their eyes were drenched in tears. grieved that why we can't go in the path of Allah. That's also another interesting event where later on Allah opened for Rasulullah and he called for them. And look at the sincerity of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari said to Rasulullah, Allah's Nabi, you support, you arrange for us. But earlier you said, Wallahi, I do not have. So he's worried. Nabi said, Wallahi. And then afterwards Allah opened up for him. And beautiful is the explanation Nabi gave them. And this is the purity of Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum and their clean heartedness and the approachability of Rasulullah. That a Sahabi mentions and asks that this is what you said and this is what happened. How beautiful are the lessons from the lives of Rasulullah and the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum. So what happened in the masjid? Hazrat Umair now mentions this to Julas. This is what happened in the environment of the masjid. Why weren't you there, O Julas? He mentioned to him, this is what Hazrat Abu Bakr did, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Uthman, Hazrat Abdul Rahman, Hazrat, subhanAllah, that Sahabi who could sell that little bit to give in the path of Allah. And there's so many amazing reports where the one Sahabi who couldn't give in the path of Allah, he said, Allah, I give my honor, Hazrat Ulba, radiallahu anhu, my honor I forfeited for your sake. That Sahabi who brings just a bag of dates and how it was expected, accepted by Rasulullah and it was put on top of the entire heap. The Qur'an al-Kareem also tells us about those who mock the believers. Women whom yalmizuka fi sadaqat. This is another verse. And also in the Qur'an, Allah mentions the munafiqeen who, when they saw those who gave in abundance, they said, oh, this is just a show-off. And when they saw those who didn't have and gave very little, they had something to comment and say that, oh, Allah doesn't need your contribution. You get this category of people. This teaches us the lesson. These were the few, they were hypocrites. And this is a continuation where we see up to today, those who are armchair critics, not prepared to do anything for Allah, just to sit and watch and comment and judge every single person. This one is like this, that one is like that. Everybody else is full of faults, they are only perfect. Allah Ta'ala save us from such a despicable attitude. Now when he narrates these events to Rasulullah, the words slipped out from the tongue of Julas because he was upset, he was infuriated, he was irritable. So he says, you know, please stop telling me all these stories. Because if Muhammad says these things and what he says is true in his claim of prophethood, then we are worse than donkeys. Mistakenly, these words emanated from his tongue. But Hazrat Umair was now shocked and dumbfounded by what just happened and transpired. A man who he loved like Julas, but how could he utter such a despicable, unacceptable utterance? And now this child's mind is working. What do I do? Do I just keep quiet? Because this man has done for me. But if I keep quiet, he has showed betrayal of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I have to keep quiet. But then he realized Allah and his Rasul come first. He went to Julas to notify him that you did this. I love you and respect you, but this is what you did. And I can't keep quiet about it. Repent. So Julas again says, I told you, you're becoming a nuisance. Just leave me. Stop this. So Hazrat Umair now had to go to Rasulullah. Oh, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is what happened. Allah's beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaches us a very, very pertinent lesson. He keeps Hazrat Umair there and he sends someone to call for Julas. And what we learn from here? Never judge a situation unless we hear both sides of the story. This is a very pertinent lesson we learn in our lives. Always hear both sides of the story, whether it's between partners, husband and wife, siblings, whatever the situation. Always hear both sides of the story. Anyway, Julas comes, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asks him after he greets Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is it so that you said such things? Julas said, by Allah, it's a lie, O Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This child has fabricated lies against me. I've never uttered such a thing. Now what happened now? This child knows that he did utter. And now he is denying it. What would the environment have been? The few that were there, one would have thought that this child is such a righteous child, he would never lie. Others would have thought, how ungrateful of him to actually insinuate a man who had showed him ihsan and kindness. And anyway, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is silent there. And after some time, because this child was emotional, and he made dua, oh Allah, you defend me. You express my truthfulness. Anyway, in this, Julas continued to say, I can take an oath also. I said no such thing. I'm prepared to take an oath also. Just then, Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was overwhelmed by wahi. Subhanallah. Now it becomes a worry for Julas. And this child, it's hope for this child, Hazrat Umayr radiallahu anhu. And then, subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was relieved from the state when wahi would reveal upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he recited these verses of the Qur'an al-Kareem from Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 74. After, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يحلفون بالله ما قالوا ولقد قالوا كلمة الكفر وكفروا بعد إسلامهم وهموا بما لم ينالوا وما نقموا إلا أن أغناهم الله ورسوله من فضله فإن يتوبوا يك خيرا لهم وإن يتولوا يعذبهم الله عذابا أليما في الدنيا والآخرة وما لهم في الأرض من ولي ولا نصير.